What's the first thing that comes to mind? Lions, then. Well, that's way over in chapter 6. There's some incredible things that happens in the book of Daniel. Do you realize some of the most detailed prophecies of the end times are contained in the book of Daniel? God didn't give that to anybody else. And yet we remember lion's den. I'm not being critical, but I do want to point out, well, let me ask you this. What does the lion's den teach us from the Word of God? Well, that's good. We got that at least. God will take care of us when we're innocent before Him. All right? Now, you know that's a relative term, but expression. But anyway, nevertheless, in the book of Daniel, we have some marvelous lessons. And I want to focus mainly on the character Daniel himself this morning. I don't know if we'll do any more preaching from the book of Daniel after this, but I do have some thoughts on our mind, and I'm not lifting up Daniel before you as someone that we need to worship. The way I want to approach the subject this morning is that Daniel is a wonderful role model for us if we want to live a more godly life. Don't we need good role models in life? All right, so we're not worshiping Daniel this morning. We're worshiping the God that Daniel worshiped. And if we can follow the way that Daniel worshiped his God, then we can worship our God in a better way. We can show forth love and appreciation and thanksgiving to our God, who is the same God, by the way. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? And not only that, but you might say, well, that's Old Testament. I want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he shows up in the book of Daniel, doesn't he? In the fiery furnace. They threw in three. And that old king looked in there and said, do not I see four? And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the eternal Son of God. Yes, he was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came hundreds and hundreds of years later in bodily form. But as the Son of God, as the Word of God, he's always been. We can preach Christ from Daniel. We can preach salvation from Daniel. We can preach the gospel from the book of Daniel. Bless your hearts, if we're following the ways that Daniel followed, then we'll show forth the gospel with our very footsteps and our actions and our life. And that's how wonderful that is, that you can look at the character and the life and the example of Old Testament saints, and you can see the gospel being displayed right there as they followed their God, as they worshiped their God. Now, granted, if we had the opportunity to go back and talk to some of those, years ago and preach the gospel to them, they might have been able to rejoice in the same things that we rejoice in today, having the fullness of the gospel. And I want to tell you, the Spirit of God worked mightily in the saints of old, just as it does today. Same Spirit. All right? The book of Daniel. Was Daniel a super saint? You know that, what I mean by that. Sometimes we look at these Old Testament characters that God used mightily in his service, and we think, oh, well, they were just super saints. There's no way we could do that today. Well, if the same power is working in us that was working in them, we could, because it wasn't by their strength or their might. It's by the power of God. But now, if Daniel had ignored the leadership of the Spirit and gone his own way, doing his own thing, we might have had a book by the different name. You know why I say that? Because God's going to work his will. And if there's one that's disobedient and there's one that won't follow him, he'll find somebody else. You know the lesson of the talents? He gave five to some and two to some and two to one and one to one. And the one that had the five, he used it to the glory of God. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one that had the two talents, he used him. And he used it in the service of God. And he was pronounced the same blessing upon him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one that had the one talent went and buried it. What did God say to him? Take his talent and give it to the one that used it faithfully. God's going to get his glory. God's purposes are going to be fulfilled. May God help us to take the leadership of his spirit and trust him to use us in whatever way he's pleased to his glory and his honor, and you'd be amazed what can happen. Daniel was faithful. As a matter of fact, I want to notice three things. There's a lot of things we could notice about Daniel, but I want to notice three things that are just outstanding characteristics that we can follow if we love God. We can do the same. Now, God may not choose to use us in the same way as he used Daniel. Daniel was, at one time, was one of the most powerful men on the face of the earth. Do you know that? Just like Joseph in Egypt. God elevated him to such power that Joseph actually had more control over the things that was happening in the government of Egypt than Pharaoh did. Now, Pharaoh could overrule him, but I mean, he put that in Joseph's hands. And the same thing with Daniel in the Babylonian Empire. God raised him up to such an extent that he had such influence on the affairs of the known world at that time. He was the most powerful man on the earth. Do you know that? God used them in the face of affliction, in the face of adversity. Those that are faithful to him can have an impact. Wouldn't you like to do that? Do we need some Daniels today? Do we need some folks that will be faithful to God and stand up for what's right and do what's right? Our culture is changing quickly and drastically. We don't know what we're going to be facing in the next few years. But we know this, God is still the same. God is still in control. If we don't get to our text, we're not going to do very much. Daniel chapter 1. First thing I want to notice about Daniel, some of the things that were told about him, he was actually a descendant of David. Okay, being of the nation of Judah and of the royal seed, then his heritage could have been traced back to David because of the house of Judah. You know, the kingdom was divided between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was made up of Judah and Benjamin. The other 10 tribes made up the northern kingdom. The Lord, since Judah was a much larger tribe, it became known as the kingdom of Judah. God made a promise to David that they would not fail to be one to sit on the throne of his lineage. So that's all I'm going to say about that, that Daniel descended from David. All right, that's just a tidbit of information. But God's people, Judah, had gotten to such a point. Now, the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, had already been dispersed. They'd already lost their identity. Judah was left, but Judah departed from the Lord as well. The nation of Judah, that is. And God, and when there was no remedy, God allowed the Babylonians to come in and take them over. Take them captive. Now, God's people have been warned by the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah had faithfully warned them over and over and over. But it was to no avail. And so the Babylonians, God sent the Babylonians. You hear that? God sent the Babylonians in to take them over in judgment because of their departure from him and his ways. But there was still a remnant, which there always will be a faithful remnant, won't there? It's what the Bible teaches us. There was a remnant that was still faithful to God. All right? So in Daniel 1, it speaks of how that God sent the Babylonians in to take them over. All right? Let's see, where it's hard to jump in the middle of a lot of this, but beginning in verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, and the king, that is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, spake unto Asphanez, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans, who's the Babylonians. All right? What I want us to notice here is, as God sent judgment upon his people, he's beginning to make provision for them while they're in captivity. Jeremiah the prophet was going to stay in Israel. The Babylonians carried the nation of Judah over to their land. The prophet Ezekiel was called to prophesy to his people while they were in Babylon. Okay? So these young people, and it appears from all the study and everything that we can glean from this, it appears that these were young men, perhaps teenagers, but we're not real sure just how old they were, but there was a select group that were carried away first, away from Jerusalem, away from Judah, all right? So, first of all, you know, I ask you the question, was Daniel a super saint? Well, it seems like he had privileges, we'll put it that way. He had some privileges, being of the royal seed. And so being of the royal seed, he perhaps had some education that a lot of us didn't. But I want you to see that as Daniel was carried away with them, God had already worked in the heart of Daniel. And this young man is going to begin to display, even at an early age, he's going to display great faith. Do we have to wait until we're older to be faithful to God? If God has touched and tendered our heart, if he's given us his love in our heart, if he's given us a desire to serve him and honor him, we can begin to serve him that moment, can't we? We don't have to wait till later. Daniel certainly displayed a desire to please God. But I want you to notice, before we get farther into this, even though Daniel had some privileges, and even though he was carried away with the idea that these were the, you might say, the term you might hear, the best and the brightest, as he was carried away, God uses some like that, but for the most part, God doesn't call the noble or the mighty, doesn't he? Look with me, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just very briefly, because I want to get past this idea of Daniel being a super saint. I want us all to realize that if we serve God faithfully and do that which pleases God, it's amazing what God would be willing to do with us. By the way, when Jesus called his apostles, did he call the mighty and the noble? No, they were very common men. Most of them were even fishermen. All right? But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I stopped turning my pages. Let's begin in verse 26. 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Sometimes those things get in the way. God, by his Spirit, can enable us to serve him. All right? Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why does he do that? Keep reading. That no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh should glory in his presence. Now, you go read the book of Daniel, and you'll find some flesh glorying in the presence of God. God's going to bring them down. All right? But to God's people, he calls us and he blesses us to serve him faithfully. And he doesn't require great things of us. He requires us to be faithful to him. And if he's put something, if he has something he wants us to do, don't you know he will prepare us? He will equip us. Now, I'm not talking about we're robots and he does everything. But I'm talking about if he's put something upon your heart to do, he will bless you to do it if you're looking to him for the strength and all the opportunities and the wisdom to do it. Problem is, not too many folks are looking for what God would have them to do. They're too busy doing their own thing. That's why we're not seeing a great power being manifested by God in Christianity today. Oh, but bless your hearts, you'll find it here. Even as this young man was carried away as a captive, as a slave to the Babylonians, God used him mightily. Why? For his glory. That's the bottom line. For his glory as God's people. You know, that no doubt there were those that looked upon Israel at that time, or Judah, they would say were carried away captive, and perhaps they thought, if they didn't even say, well, I guess their God was not able to keep them from the Babylonians. Do you suppose that thought occurred to some? This God who had worked so mightily in delivering his people from Egypt, this God so mightily that delivered them across the Red Sea, that fed them in the wilderness with manna, I guess this God's no longer able to take care of his people. That's not the problem at all, is it? It's not a problem with God, it was a problem with his people. He was sending judgment upon them. Might he be sending judgment upon the United States of America? Yeah, let's see, is there any reason for him to? I don't have to go any farther with that, do I? But God is the same God who can enable us and who can bless us with whatever is needed to bring glory to his name. All right, three things I want to notice about Daniel. As he's carried away into Babylon, as he's taken, and now he's going to be forced into service of this foreign king, Nebuchadnezzar. Woe is me. He could have said that. He could have thought, oh, all this has just been for nothing. I've been faithful to God, and look what's happened to me. I never find that in Scripture. And another outstanding character, Joseph, had similar situations happen to him. You never find that from him either. Because God is still the same. God is just as good whether our circumstances are good or whether our circumstances are bad. God is still the same. He's still good. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of everything we have. And trying to serve him and live our life in such a way that would be pleasing in his sight. All right? Back to Daniel 1. As they brought the young men to Babylon, the king gave instructions on how they were to be taken care of, what they were to be fed for 3 years. And then they were to be brought before the king, and the king would question them to find out how smart they were, I'll put it that way, and how useful they might be in his kingdom. Okay? You know the story. All right? But look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. First thing I want to notice about Daniel is that he had the courage to think for himself. He was placed in a difficult situation, wasn't he? He was under the authority of a foreign nation. They were putting him in subjection to serve that king. And even though they said, this is what you're going to eat for the next 3 years, do you know Daniel realized that very likely that food that he would be eating, the king's meat, was offered to their idol God and then taken and used for their rations. Or the drink, the wine, might also have been offered to their idol gods. Daniel did not want to defile himself with the king's meat or the wine. Now, he had the courage to speak up. He had the courage to ask for something else. And the reason he did that, so that he could honor his God. Would God honor such a request? Would God honor such a desire? Even today? Sure he would. If we desire to honor God, like Daniel, we need the courage to speak up, to think for ourselves, to think ahead, to think of what this is, the implications this is going to have, and to think, how can I glorify God? You know, he didn't say what he wanted to do. He just didn't want to do what was going to defile him. He had the courage. That's the first thing I want to notice. Courage to think for himself. Courage to think ahead to what was going to honor God. Don't we need that today? We're facing a lot of changes. Our culture is changing. Requirements are being placed upon us that we didn't have before. We need to be thinking ahead. Lord, how can I honor you and be at peace with all men as much as possible? We need courage to do that. Courage. When God called Joshua to lead the children of Israel, after Moses had served his generation, three times in the first 9 verses of the book of Joshua, you'll find God telling him, be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because the fear of man bringeth a snare. All right? That's Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Do you believe that? It's the word of God. Whoso putteth his trust in the name in the Lord shall be safe. Do you know God told Joshua that? Back in Joshua chapter 1. He said, no man shall be able to stand before thee. I will be with you. Boy, that makes a big difference, doesn't it? When God says he'll be with us, does that give you a little more courage? Does that give you a little more backbone? Does that give you a little more ability to stand and be faithful to God? All right, courage. Courage. Do you remember in 2 Peter, when Peter was telling us to add some things to our faith? He said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, add to your faith virtue. Well, you need to dig into that word a little bit. I don't mean in any way to cast any negative reflection upon the King James wording, but we need to know what that word means. And it means godly strength, or God, a manly power. Manly power is what it means. It means valor. It's the same as courage. All right? When he says, add to your faith virtue, the very first thing that he tells us of those 7 things to add to your faith, obviously that means somebody has to have faith first. God has to be born of the Spirit of God, have the desire to please God, have the love of God in his heart. But if we're going to add those things to our faith, the first thing he says is the same as courage. Some people call it valor, all right? But manly power. This is what Daniel was manifesting, this courage to speak up, this courage to take a stand, even when he was over in Babylon in service to a foreign king. Could we ever find ourselves in that position? Having some power over us that is not Christian? It's possible. I hope it's a long time, but it is possible. The events in the last couple of years ought to make every one of us realize it's possible and it could happen quicker than we ever realized. We could find ourselves in the same position as Daniel. Well, if we find ourselves in the same position as Daniel, will we have the courage of Daniel? Would we? I don't know. Could we? We have the same God. We have the same one providing for us. We have the same one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. We have the same help that Daniel did. All right? So he requested. All right? So the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. There's a safety there. And again, I'll go back to Joseph because his circumstances were similar to this. Do you remember how Joseph was put in a very similar situation, yet God was with him. God blessed him. God took care of him. He remained safe because he was trusting God. Does that give you a little more courage? To be reminded that God is our helper, God is our strength, and if we're seeking to please him first, bless your hearts, he's going to be faithful to us. Courage. Daniel manifested a great amount of courage as a young man. As a young man. And he did it in a Christian way. He just requested not to eat of those things. Certainly, God honored that. God blessed that. And he was allowed to eat pulps, which I understand is like vegetables. Okay? All right, so he wasn't eating the king's meat. He wasn't drinking the king's wine. But he was sustained. And there's more to the story, but we got to keep moving here. But even though they refused the king's meat and the king's wine, it turned out that after the prince of the eunuchs agreed to let them have something else, he was concerned for his life because if they didn't look to be well nourished, he might lose his head. Well, after they had a little test there for 10 days, and we find that they appeared fatter and healthier than all the rest. Sounds like to me God was blessing that arrangement already. And we know he was because you can see the hand of providence in this already. But I hope to have time to read all the verses. Daniel manifested the courage to speak up and do what was pleasing to God. The end of the 3 years during their training, we find that they were brought in before the king. And I will read a couple of verses. He says in verse 17 of the first chapter, he says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king said he should bring them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among all them that was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. By the way, that's those other three that was in the fiery furnace. Okay, but that's their Hebrew names. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and all the astrologers that were in all his realm. And what happened? And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, if you know your Old Testament history, or if you know secular history, you know the Babylonians were conquered by the Medes and the Medes and the Persians. Daniel served King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel served Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. Daniel served Darius, the first king of the Medes and the Persians. We find that Daniel was even there to serve Cyrus after, in later years, after Cyrus came to the throne. Even up into his, what seems to be his 80s, he was still having tremendous influence upon Babylon and the Babylonian Empire, which, by the way, was the known world at that time. All right, so the courage to stand up and do what's pleasing to God was a blessing to Daniel for many years. Next, I want to notice what Daniel manifested was a perfected love. Not just love, but a perfected love. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Daniel was more interested in what pleased God than what pleased the Babylonian king. You know, the temptation would be, well, if you're in the... And by the way, back then the king had power. I mean, if the king wanted to take your head off, he'd just tell somebody to do it, and it was done. Not 20 years or 50 years later, after it satisfied all the appeals. All right? So kings back then had great power. But Daniel was more interested in pleasing his God, the King of Kings, than he was the Babylonian king. Why? Because of a great love for his God. Now you say, well, how do you know that? By what he did. Even in the New Testament, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. When someone keeps the commandments of God, it's a manifestation of love. Jesus said that. All right? It's not those warm, fuzzy feelings all the time that constitutes love, is it? No, love for God is doing his will. Love for God is pleasing him. Love for God is walking in obedience to his way and his will. And you see a tremendous manifestation of that in the life of Daniel. As a matter of fact, that's what gives us courage, is our love for God. How do you know that, preacher? Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Let's begin at verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Now let's understand the biblical use of the word perfect means a mature, settled and grounded, stable love. Okay? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, we've been following God. We want to do what's pleasing to him. We have no reason to fear him in the day of judgment. All right? Verse 18. There is no fear in love. All right, we started out by saying that Daniel was courageous. That he had courage to speak up. He had courage to stand for what's right. And John tells us there's no fear in love. Think about that for a second. When you love somebody, how much fear is there? Well, you don't think about fear if you really love somebody, do you? It's just contrary. And the more you love somebody, the less you think about any fear about them. All right? If we really and truly love God, and we feel the love of God in our heart, and we feel the leadership of his Spirit in our life, that yes, there is an appropriate and a healthy fear of God, but that's reverence. That's reverential fear. That's respect to the highest degree when we talk about the fear of God. But we're not afraid of him. If we love him, and if we understand that he sent his Son to save us from our sins, that Jesus died and suffered tremendously, more than we can ever understand, Jesus suffered for us to redeem us from our sins, is there anything that would keep us from wanting to be closer and closer and closer to him? If indeed he has saved us, if indeed he's had mercy upon us and given us his grace and provides for us every day and prepared for us eternally, why wouldn't we want to be closer to him as we walk each day? Perfect love, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. In other words, as our love for God grows, as we're drawn closer to him and have a greater desire to satisfy his will and do that which is pleasing in his sight, there's less and less to fear in our own lives because we understand he's all-powerful. He loves us. He provides for us. He's promised to watch over us. He's promised to protect us. He's promised to provide for us eternally. The more we understand that, the more we get a grasp on that, the less fear there is to be had in this life, and the less fear of man there is to be had in this life. To know that not even death itself can separate us from God. That's what Jesus was sent into this world to do, to save us from death and being eternally separated from Him. So there's nothing in this world that we should fear if we have a strong love for God. Now, I know sometimes life is not easy. I know there's difficulties in life, but I'm saying if our mind is set upon the love of God and that tremendous love He has for us and the care that He's promised to give to us, it should cast out the fear and the anxieties. And we should be able to trust Him more. And that gives us more courage. So I encourage you to think about the love of God. I encourage you to look for ways that God has manifested His love for you. Just look around. There's many, many ways that God is blessing us every day. And if we'll just take note of it, if we'll just notice the things that God's doing for us, oh, it'll endear us to Him. He's already shown us His perfect love. And it's time for us to show a more perfect love toward Him, isn't it? To walk with courage, knowing that there is nothing that can separate us from our God because of what He's done for us. Nothing. No matter what we have to face in this world, there's nothing that can separate us. That's the last verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Tell you, that ought to give us more boldness as we walk here in this. Do you think the Muslims are shy about saying who their God is? Do you think the Muslims are shy about going around and doing their ways? Bless your hearts. We need to concentrate on our love for God, the love that He has for us, and how we can reflect that love back to Him. And the more we understand that, the more boldness we'll have, the more courage we'll have to take our stand as followers of Jesus Christ in this country. Christianity is being assaulted at every level in this nation today. You know, just the latest flap about Chick-fil-A. Great crowds are gathering outside Chick-fil-A's protesting. In America? Yeah. They're going to get their way eventually, somehow. What are we going to do? Just sit around and let it happen? We need to wake up. We need to take a stand. We need some more boldness in our faith. We need to please God. See, I'm not saying we need to grab a picket sign and write something on it and go stand on the other side of the corner. I'm saying faithfulness to God. Beg God for the wisdom that we need on how we need to live our lives and the boldness that we need to stand and faithfully proclaim His name before men. Take a stand for Christianity. Take a stand for God by living in obedience to His Word. That's the most powerful thing we can do. And try to seek to please Him every way we can. The deeper our love for Him, the more boldness and courage we will have. And we'll display in this life that we have to live. All right, so we've noticed the courage that Daniel had even at an early age. And he continued to manifest that. We've noticed the love that he manifested because he obeyed God's will. All right? Both of those are things that if we have the love of God in our heart, both of those are things that we can do. We can be showing our love for God by doing what He says, can't we? We can be more bold in the Spirit if we are more mindful of His love for us and more mindful of His care for us. Then perfect love casts out fear. Our love needs to be rekindled. You know, one of the churches in the seven churches of Asia, the Laodicean church, well, no, I'm sorry, go back to the church at Ephesus. They were doing a lot of good things, but the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. They'd left their focus upon the Lord. Their heart was not warm, tender toward Him. Other things were getting in the way. That's what we need. We need a deeper, more abiding presence of God in our life, guiding us, helping us, a reminder of His love, because that brings forth feelings of love in us, and it helps us to be more loving toward others. And it helps us to be more bold in doing it. All right, so those two are not separate items. They are closely connected. All right. Third thing I want to notice about, so much more we could say about that, but let me give you one more passage. Psalm 27. You remember Psalm 27, verse 1? It's a very famous, very favorite passage of so many. Psalm 27. The Lord, he says, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, when we're talking about keeping the Lord before us, we're keeping the love of God in our heart and in our mind, it casts out fear. So when David said in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Okay? He goes on to say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When you're keeping those points in memory, when you're remembering what He is to us, and He is that to us by His grace. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. He gave it to us freely because He loves us so much. Because He's given us so much. Oh, may God help us to follow Him more closely, to be more loving and more bold in our faith. All right? Third thing I want to notice about Daniel. And it really, again, these are not separate items, but they just kind of flow along together. It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Because it manifests itself in many ways. And it's all tied together, isn't it? We've talked about love. We've talked about boldness, to be able to speak up, think for ourselves, do what would be pleasing to the Lord instead of what is presenting itself as a choice. Third thing I want to notice is that Daniel remained faithful. He kept himself unspotted. The New Testament says from the world. We'll just say in this lesson, from the Babylonians. He kept himself unspotted. He kept his mind and his heart set upon God, pleasing God, not pleasing man. Oh, he could have perhaps have been he was a great servant to the Babylonians. But all the while that he was a great servant to the Babylonians, his primary objective was to be the greatest servant he could be to the King of Kings. And while he did that, he was a great servant to the Babylonians. Great blessing to them. No doubt it was a great blessing to the known world at that time to have a man like that in such a position of power. Just imagine what a blessing that was. Even though to think about how that he was a captive in Babylon, a servant to the Babylonian king, yet to have one of that character in that position, no doubt, was a tremendous blessing to the known world for the years that he served in that capacity. Faithfulness. He served Nebuchadnezzar during all the pride that Nebuchadnezzar manifested and how God judged him and brought him down. And Nebuchadnezzar was then praising God. After he was brought down, after he was brought to an understanding that God is the one that rules in heaven, among the in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? That great king learned that lesson, didn't he? Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, what I'm told from the commentators. The scripture says his son, but without exception, it seems like the commentators want to call him the grandson. Whatever. Whether he was a son or grandson. Daniel faithfully served this man and Belshazzar when he threw a great feast one time, and they went and got all the vessels that had been carried away from the house of God in Jerusalem, and they were going to take those vessels and pour wine in them, and all their feasting and revelry, they were going to be using the vessels from the house of God. And a hand appeared writing on the wall. Remember that? From Daniel? It's almost as good as the den of lions, isn't it? A hand appeared on the wall. And it was writing something. And nobody knew, but it was a fearful thing. Because that expression of your knees knocking together, that came from what the Bible said about Belshazzar when he saw a hand writing on the wall. His knees smote one against the other. All right? Daniel was able to interpret the writing. Told him, "Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. And this night the kingdom shall be taken from you." And it happened just like the word of God on that wall said. Just like Daniel was able to interpret the writing, it happened that night. And that's when the Medes and the Persians came in and conquered the Babylonians. Now, all that was already told or foretold in the book of Daniel. But I've got to hit some high points and keep going here. All right? Daniel was faithful to Nebuchadnezzar in service, but he was faithful to God first. And he did a good job in serving Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel remained faithful to Belshazzar, even though Belshazzar was an ungodly man and ruler. Yet Daniel remained to be faithful to God in that place. Then Darius, when he came to the throne, Daniel served him. By the way, that's the king that was on the throne when he was thrown into a den of lions. The faithfulness of Daniel shines brighter, probably right there, than any other place, isn't it? When there were some jealous rulers who saw that Daniel had such power, and he was a foreigner, they were jealous of him because he was first in command behind the king. So they tricked the king into writing a law that no one would worship any god except that of the Medes and the Persians. What did Daniel do? Did Daniel begin to decide to worship the gods of the Medes and the Persians? Daniel remained faithful to God. He went in his room, and just like he always did, he opened his window toward Jerusalem. Now, if he'd have been like us, we'd have kept the window closed at least. He left the windows open. And he prayed to his God just like he always had. And that tells us that he remained faithful because this was already his habit. This wasn't something he did when he felt the pressure of adversity coming upon him. This was something he did every day. And I'm going to tell you, you need to take a note of that. That was his habit. That was his daily regimen. He worshiped God every day, not just when things got hairy. He worshiped God every day. And he did that which was pleasing to God. And God took care of him. Remember what he told him? How that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but they that put their trust in the Lord shall be safe. Daniel was not delivered from the penalty of that law, the Medes and the Persians. Daniel was cast into the den of lions, wasn't he? Not just a lion's den now, you know that. It wasn't just a lion's den that perhaps the lion was on vacation. It was a den of lions. And what happened when Daniel hit bottom? Do you find him begging God to help him and save him from the hungry lions? We don't have any record of that. Daniel was trusting God. Perhaps he knew that even if the lions pounced upon him and crushed his bones, he'd awaken his presence. That's the hope we have. If our life has been taken, if someone should crash through this door right now and mow down the whole congregation, If they should take our life this moment, we'd still wake in His presence. We're safe in the blood of Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That casts out fear, doesn't it? It makes us more bold to be faithful to the one who's able to save us to the uttermost. Bless your hearts as we think about the faithfulness of Daniel. It was his habit to worship God, and he didn't let circumstances change that. He continued to worship God. That's a good example for us. No matter what we have to face in this world, to continue to worship God. So in his faithfulness, from his youth to his old age, he had an excellent spirit about him. He was faithful. And he had a clean reputation. How do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible says so. All right? Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6. By the way, this is after those jealous rulers passed this law. And this is after, this is when those jealous rulers were looking for a way to get rid of Daniel. And when they were trying to devise their plan, and they were considering this man, Daniel. Daniel 6, beginning of verse 3, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him." The king noticed that. "And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful." Hear that? He was faithful and they knew it. Now that's the point. It wasn't that he was hiding his faith under a bushel. He was living his faith before others. He was faithful and they knew it. "Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" And then they went about their scheme that caused Daniel to be thrown into the den of lions. All right? Let's keep reading a little bit. I turned away too soon. Go back to Daniel chapter 6. In the interest of time, let's drop down to verse 16. After that decree was made, after Daniel violated that decree, after it was known, let's see, verse 16, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, 'Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.'" I want you to notice that. This is some very positive words that the king is speaking. But did he really believe it? That's my point. He said, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually." See, we're talking about the faithfulness of Daniel. All right? The king knew that he continually served his God. Thy God. See, the king didn't say, "You've been so faithful to me." The king said, "You've been faithful to your God, to serve him continually." And he said, he will deliver thee. All right? They cast him into the den of lions. Verse 18. "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions." This king appreciated Daniel. This king had a love for Daniel. He knew he was a good man. He knew he was a faithful man. He knew he served his God and trusted his God daily. And when he came, verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. He didn't know if he'd hear Daniel answer him or not. He cried with a lamentable voice. Now, I'm not interested in the lack of faith in this king. I'm interested in how Daniel was able to conduct himself to such a degree that others knew he was faithful to God. They've got plenty to learn about how faithful God is to us when we're faithful to him. But Daniel was already displaying it. That's the way we need to be living our lives. Manifesting a faith in God that's unshakable and unmovable. Will God take care of us? Does he love us? Is he providing for us every day? Do we deserve it? No, but we get it by his mercy, don't we? Well, is his mercy going to run out? Judging by your answers, I have find every reason to believe that we ought to be faithful to God, because we know that if we're faithful to him, it's because he's already loved us, he's already manifested himself to us, and he will continue to provide for us. Isn't that the absolute best arrangement we could imagine? Then why wouldn't we do it? Got quiet. Why don't we do that? It's the best way to follow. All right? So he went on to say, and the king spake, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? See, this king had a lot to learn about the ability of Daniel's God. He knew Daniel was faithful to God. He knew that he served him continually. But is this God that you're serving continually able to deliver you from the lions? Can you answer that question? Sure he is. All right? He said, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Sounds like he'd had a good night's sleep, doesn't it? My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have no... that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now, obviously, the innocency, primarily he's talking about, is that because even though this decree was passed, okay, they had an ulterior motive. Daniel had done no wrong. Daniel was living in a way that was pleasing to God and doing what he could to be a help to the king. And that's what was coming upon him. Bless your hearts, we, as faithful servants of God today, need to be serving God first, seeking his will, and while we're doing that, we can be the best blessing to whatever we're doing, whatever responsibilities we have in this life. Daniel was courageous, but he was courageous because he loved God. He had a deep and abiding love to do the will of God. And that will of God, or that love that he had, enabled him to remain faithful to God because he served him every day. What a great role model for us to take note of. What a great God we have. What a great God Daniel served. And he's the same God we serve today. Because Daniel was faithful to the king, he served the kings that he served under, but primarily he served the King of Kings. And all those other things was added to him. Oh, there's so much more we could say. The time's gone. But I pray that I've stirred your mind this morning. I pray that I've stirred your heart. I pray that we can remember the example, the faithful example that Daniel left for us. That we also could be courageous, that we could be strong and courageous, that we could be loving our God each day by doing what he's told us to do. Because you see, in obedience, what didn't Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And didn't he also say, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them? So the happiness and the joy is going to come as we do the will of God, as we serve Him. Bless your hearts, a deeper and a more abiding love will enable us. I'm talking about now being led by the Spirit, enabled by the Spirit, helped by the Spirit every day will enable us to be more faithful to Him. Couldn't we use some of that today? Couldn't we use more Daniels? Do we have any Daniels here today? Can we be more like Daniel? We've got the same God. We have some of the same needs that was in existence that day. If we are blessed to know that He's the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ is His Son, if we're blessed to know that Jesus came into this world to save us from our sins, if we have the love of God in us to desire and a desire to walk in a way that's pleasing unto Him, and bless your hearts, we have the same opportunity Daniel had to serve Him faithfully and to be a good influence in this world. May God help us to be just that and even more each day that goes by. May God help us to serve Him faithfully. May God bless you is our prayer.